So we had a problem on Holiday Client, didn't we? And not just there. It's a problem for everyone, whether we realize it or not. God made us, but we've turned away from him. We don't love him and look after the world that he made for us. And so he's rightly angry about us. We're stuck. Do you remember the songs? The baddest sickness in the world is sin. We're all sick with sin. But as Kate and Professor Claptrap found out, God had a plan all along. God the Son, Jesus, came to rescue us from sin and death by dying on the cross in our place. He was our substitute. He took the punishment for our sin, for our naughtiness. And when we trust in him, we're forgiven, and we can know God again. But Ruth had a question, didn't she? If Jesus has rescued us from sin and death, why doesn't the world change? Why do bad things still happen, like we've seen so tragically in Norway recently, and in other places in the world, and in our own lives too? Why isn't everything good again? That's what we're going to think about now. Now, can anyone remember the name of the man who Jesus raised from the dead? It was Lazarus. Well, when Jesus did that, he called himself something. This is more difficult, but he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he called himself the resurrection and the life. And he showed that he could give life by raising Lazarus from the dead. But then Jesus was put to death on the cross. And we think, how can Jesus give life now if he's dead? We're going to think about three things this morning about how Jesus is going to put the world right. Three things that explain God's plan. And the first one is that Jesus didn't stay dead. Just imagine if Jesus had died and he stayed dead. How could he put the world right? Well, he couldn't if he was dead. I've got a plant at home that I was hoping I might produce leaves. But it went too long without water, so it's died now. I'm never going to see it produce leaves or flowers again. A dead fruit tree doesn't produce fruit, does it? It's dead. You might as well chop it up and burn it or compost it. So if Jesus stayed dead, we've still got a big problem. Let's read a verse, some verses from 1 Corinthians. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time." Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, but he was raised on the third day. He didn't stay dead because he's the Son of God. God can't die. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus, and he was raised from the dead himself. And that's why we celebrate at Easter, isn't it? Yes, that Jesus died for us, but also that he rose again. So we give eggs to people, signs of new life. And the Bible tells us that Jesus then went back to be with God the Father in heaven after he'd risen from the dead. He didn't die again. He's always been alive. He's alive now. And that means that you can talk to him in your prayers. You can know him and know his love for you. But you might have another question. It's all very well for Jesus being back in heaven with God the Father, but what about this world that's still so messed up? What about people who die? Because people do carry on dying in this world. You wouldn't be very impressed if you were in hospital and you had a broken leg. And the doctors came around and said to you, "Oh yes, broken leg. We can heal that. Join the bones together again. Heal it up. You'll be walking again soon." And then they said they were leaving the hospital that day and you wouldn't see them again. They might say they were going to make you better, but they weren't if you don't see them again. Has Jesus just said he'll make us better from sin, but then just left us to our own devices? Well, there were some people who were worried about their friends and family who had died, even though they were trusting in Jesus. They wanted to know what had happened to them and whether they were safe. A man called Paul, I wrote this in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Paul tells us in these words that Jesus is going to come back to this world someday. We don't know when, but God promises that he will come back. When he comes back, everyone will know that he has come back. Look at verse 16. Now the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. I wonder whether any of you remember the last World Cup and the Vuvuzelas. In every game, lots of South Africans would blow the Vuvuzelas, and if you were watching it on television, you could hear them. They were like a swarm of bees buzzing in every game. The BBC actually produced this filter that you could upload on a computer to take out that noise. It was so annoying. Well, when the trumpet call of God sounds, everyone will hear it. And it won't just be an annoying background buzzing noise. It won't be a noise that you can somehow tune out. Everyone will hear it and know that Jesus is returning. Think about the person you know who's got the loudest voice. Think of them shouting at the top of their voice really loud. Well, the trumpet call of God will be so much louder, everyone will hear it. And if we're trusting in Jesus, it won't be a scary sound, it'll be a happy sound, because we'll know that our Lord Jesus is returning. When he does, all the people who have died trusting in Jesus will return with him. So if someone dies today, trusting in Jesus, they don't die and that's it. They physically die, but their spirits are with Jesus. They are still alive. And when Jesus returns, look at verse 17, and so we will be with the Lord forever. All of those who are friends of Jesus, trusting in him, will be with him forever. That means that there won't be any more death. And he's going to make a new world for his friends to live in. What kind of world will that be like? We don't have long to think about it, but let's think about it a bit. The passage we'll read is from Revelation. God gave a man called John some dreams, and one was a picture of what the new creation would look like in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Jesus' friends will live with him. And God says there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. He's going to make everything new. Everything is going to be good. Just think about our bodies as an example. What's going to happen to us and to our bodies? Well, when Jesus comes back to this world, everyone who's trusting in him will be given new physical bodies that will be so much better than the ones we've got. I don't know who the most famous supermodel of today is. I'm not really into that kind of thing. But whoever it is, in 20 years' time, that lady won't look the same. She'll look a bit older, a little bit saggier, even with plastic surgery and Botox and whatever else people do to try not to look older. She will look a bit older. More so in 30 years, even more in 40. Yeah, I won't even look as fantastic as I do now. Our bodies get old and hurt more, don't they? Things go wrong with them. Most of the children on holiday club were doing lots of running around, lots of games, lots of exercise. It wore me out. And I'm going on a camp next week where there will be more football and running, and I feel tired even thinking about it because my body's getting older. And so is yours. Our bodies get older and frailer. But when Jesus returns to this world, those people who are trusting in him will get new super-duper bodies that won't get old, that won't get tired, apart from perhaps in a nice way, when you've been doing some heavy work and you feel a satisfied kind of tiredness. Perhaps we'll feel that, I don't know. But bodies that won't feel pain or hurt. You won't stub your toe, which is really painful, isn't it? Or if you do stub your toe, it won't hurt. But best of all, we will be with God, and he will be with us. Everything will be new and made good, and God will be at the centre where he should be. We really will love him and live for him and look after the new world that he will give us. So just like we read in one of the passages, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Jesus rose from the dead, he will return from heaven, and the world will be renewed perfectly. So encourage each other with these words and rejoice in God. Finally, if you were on holiday club, you're going to need to put your thinking caps on now. Do you remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? The people who saw what had happened had two reactions. Some people saw what Jesus did and they put their faith in him. They became like his friends, trusting him, living for him. But there were some others who saw what Jesus did, who went and spoke to a group of people who were Jesus' enemies. They didn't like Jesus. And so they told Jesus' enemies all about what he'd done. They weren't his friends. They didn't trust him. They were his enemies. Anyone who turns their back on Jesus won't be happy when he returns to the world, because they won't be part of the new world, the new creation, which is such a wonderful place. And that's sad. It's like being offered a present and not taking it, walking away from it. Perhaps you're a bit scared of what might be in the present, so you don't bother unwrapping it. But if we do unwrap God's present, if we trust in Jesus and his death and resurrection for us, then we've unwrapped the present and we can look forward to that new world where we'll be with God. I hope we all want to trust in Jesus so that we're forgiven by God, so that we can all look forward to that new wonderful world. And if we are, we can rejoice now, the final R. We can rejoice and celebrate God's love to us and praise his super saviour, the Lord Jesus.